Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
You know that SNL skit about women who drink out of big, dumb cups? Well, Heather, I finally have one and I love it. I love my big, dumb cup.
Sounds pretty dumb. That feeling when you're in the desert at night wearing open-toed shoes and the guy you're with is telling you all about the different types of scorpions that come out when the sun goes down.
Oh, what good timing. Why is it so hard to buy the perfect bedroom window curtain? I've been on this errand for like 4 months.
It was just Earth Day and 420 in Northern California, and I am so grateful I wasn't there.
Peace and love, Heather. Have such a good day. World, welcome back to
Have such a good day.
The show. Whoa, that was like, I felt like you were like in my brain.
I am reverbing. Sarah, I'm in your brain right now.
Have such a good day is the show where we unpack the absurdity of everyday life because it's absurd. And we hope you are entertained in the process.
We really hope so. And we usually are entertained ourselves too. So it's like a symbiotic relationship, really. Welcome to the show. We like to unpack the weird everyday occurrences and maybe talk a little bit about what's happening in our lives. and what's happening in your lives. So welcome.
Yeah.
And we are so happy to be here.
Anywhere you may be on this great earth, we are glad to have you.
We are. We are. I have to tell you, Sarah, I might sound a little strange. I have pretty much what I think is the weirdest setup I think ever made by man.
Oh, for recording?
Yes.
Yeah, let's walk through what you're doing right now.
Okay, so I'm staying with a friend and we're all working from home. So we've got, you know, they're in the living room and they're in the upstairs. And so the whole, you know, the house is being taken over. Everyone's on conference calls. So I'm in my bedroom where I'm staying and it's pretty small. There's a bed and like a...
That's a plus.
Yeah. And a teeny tiny, teeny tiny triangular side table that I have pulled up to the corner of the bed. So I'm sitting on the corner of the bed, leaning over this tiny side table. And I have about 18 books piled up with my microphone on the top so it can get up to like the level of my mouth. And I hope I'm not being too loud. It's hard to really tell, but it is a very strange situation today. So if I sound strange, that's why.
Well, I think your audio sounds pretty great.
Okay,
it sounds a little different just because you're in a different spot. But thank you for taking one for the team. I know how you feel about being loud. In my house now, I have plenty of room. So I've got, you know, an office with a door. So if, you know, someone was in my living room, I could still have privacy, but like I live alone, so whatever. I have often thought about, you know, going to like a co-working space.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not even every weekday, but just kind of having that if I just want to
get out of the house.
Just get out of the house. Yeah, do something different. But the nature of my work means that I'm disruptive to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I'm going to go to a co-working space and like podcast all day. I don't think so.
Yeah. That doesn't quite like compute.
I mean, I'm sure there are certain scenarios where, you know, this has already been thought of, but it just feels, and then I got to bring my gear over there or leave it there and feel like it's safe. I don't know. Home office for the win.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, when I travel, which I do travel quite a bit, you know, sometimes I don't think ahead to like where I'm going to be when we record. And I was like, this particular trip, because I've been so busy, I only thought about it this morning. I was like, oh shit, like where am I going to do that? I even thought like the outside patio. I'm like, I'll just go out by the pool. But then I'm like, where? I won't have Wi-Fi. Anyway, it's kind of wacky, but you know.
I have to say, the house that you're staying at, even if it might be filled with people working, sounds pretty nice.
It's cute. It's very old, classic LA, which is kind of fun. But I will say, Sarah, you know, one of the mad skills that us producers have is being on your toes and being able to make it work, I guess. You know, I feel like I can do that. I can figure it out. And I thought I couldn't make it work this morning, but I did. Here we are.
Yeah. I know that feeling. And, you know, obviously Heather and I are in, you know, video and audio production and have been for a long time. But I also, I love to use the word producer for all sorts of things in my life. It's like going to put the producer hat on and make it work.
Yes, you have to.
Right. And, you know, if you're a good producer, you got to roll with the punches.
You do.
Because everything's going to just break all the time.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, listen, I lose my shit often.
Yeah.
About all sorts of things. But you know that feeling where you're like, okay, this is totally not what we expected. We're going to have to make some changes on the fly. I am cool as a cucumber. Let's do it.
Oh, absolutely.
That's, you know, that's like, sometimes you just, it's like, you have no time to be like, nah!
No, you can't.
You just have to do it.
I really think that is an innate quality that you have to have as a producer, because anything that can go wrong will go wrong. And so you can't stand there. All these people are looking at you to make a decision. You can't stand there and go, and like throw your hand, like shrug emoji. You have
or
to
be
like
it was supposed to be different.
Exactly.
Supposed to be different.
No, you got to move on. You got to move quick.
Now, as we're talking about this, I realize, you know, there could be people listening to this being like, well, I mean, being a parent is sort of like production,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
You got to keep your cool. You got to keep the kids fed. Somebody's having a meltdown. Okay, we're going to the park. You know, it's like,
absolutely.
It's all, there are many ways to produce your life, as it were.
Oh, I think being a producer is something that, because I even have applied it on this very show to running my dad's business, which is a totally different industry. But absolutely, my producer chops have come into play. I have to be on my toes for that business too, in a slightly different way. And I needed to get an education in that subject matter. But once I did, the producer chops definitely apply to just life, like producing your life. Really,
you know, project management. I mean, there are so many terms that maybe have slightly different meanings depending on your industry or, you know, the task at hand. Mm-hmm. But it's just, it's just sort of, I don't know. Sometimes people go like, well, what do you do? You know, what do you do for work? And I say, I know what it seems like I do is sit in front of my computer and press record. Mm-hmm. But a lot of things go into getting to that point. Have such a good day. Our show, which Heather and I love specifically because it's kind of fluid and, you know, we don't feel, you know, like we have this like rigid format. You know, we don't want this to add to stress. This is a fun hour of the week.
Yeah.
And hopefully it is for you. But yeah, my other stuff is, it is herding cats 24/7.
Oh, absolutely. It is. And this is actually an interesting topic because a lot of people do ask me, well, what do you do exactly, like on a film or on a TV show? And it's like, it's a very interesting question because a producer, the word producer can mean a lot of things. You know, on a movie especially, you know, sometimes it's just financial. Sometimes you're sourcing. Sometimes you might be like supervising. And there's a lot of different hats that producers wear. You know, case in point, you know, Sarah and I went and saw my movie together last weekend. It was very exciting.
It was so fun. Oh my gosh. I mean, it was so fun.
Well, I looked over at Sarah. So she sat next to me and I'd look over at her sometimes when there was some like, you know, it was like some bathroom humor or like some just wacky, weird stuff. And she either was laughing pretty hard or she had a very quizzical look on her face. But
well, I mean, okay. So we're talking about the movie Sasquatch Sunset.
Yes.
Which is, you know, it may be playing in your local theater. Look it up. It's a fun ride. But it's also bizarre.
Very.
It's a bizarre movie. It's a bizarre movie on purpose. And Heather and I mean, we're great at this. We have seen lots of bizarre movies
this
together.
This is true. This is true.
Right. And it is like, it's funny. And at the same time, it is impossible for me to entirely take off my producer hat and just enjoy, you know, a piece of entertainment.
100%.
Just because, you know, in fact, many, many years ago, I had a boyfriend who was like, you're ruining the movie. And I'm like, but don't you see that was a jump cut?
Yeah, I know. I love that, though. I'm glad that I have that vision because I enjoy it a lot. Like breaking down that wall is pretty fun. But, you know, the movie was really great and it was really fun to see it on the big screen. But when, you know, people were asking me, like, well, what did you do on it? You know, and the thing for me that really stood out because it was the main thing I did was source animals. And, you know, the ones that I saw in there that made it were like the porcupine, the badger, the skunk, the chicken, the snake, the opossum, the falcon, among others. And it doesn't say in the credits that like I'm an animal wrangler because I'm actually not. But when you're
but
a
you
producer,
were.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I would say that was the most significant thing that I did. But I did a lot of other things. Like I said, being a producer is definitely an umbrella of you know some very specific things depending on the project. You know, like it'll change from movie, if I'm doing a movie or a TV show or digital media, that kind of thing. But yeah, I think it has a lot of different meanings. So I think it's a good question to ask, you know, a producer.
It does, yeah. Well, and okay, so let's say sometimes it's opening credits, but, you know, often the ending credits of a movie or a TV show, you'll be like, oh, there's like 14 different title cards with executive producer so and so.
Exactly.
Sometimes they get their own title card. Sometimes there's three of them at once. And it's like, what, you know, like, what are the politics behind all of this? And yeah, sometimes an executive producer is simply somebody who like wrote a check.
Exactly.
They didn't do anything creative.
Yep.
And other times they were super hands on. Mm-hmm. You don't really know. I mean, unless you like,
you don't know.
You know, intimately know the production of anything specific. But yeah, it's a, I don't know. I mean, living back in LA, it's not like I mean, I could podcast from anywhere, which I have. So it's not like I'm like, whoa, middle of Hollywood. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you still get more of that. You just end up talking to and meeting more people who are in the industry in some capacity.
Oh, absolutely.
It's very fascinating.
Well, you know, it's funny because this trip has been so interesting because I, you know, saw the movie that I did a year ago, you know, and that was very specific production work that I did. And then I worked on this documentary, went to the desert. Documentary is a totally different type of movie, different cameras, you know, different gear, that kind of thing, you know, totally different subject matter, like completely polar opposite, actually. So just switching gears into that and not only being on your toes, but, you know, switching gears, like being able to like jump from one subject matter to another. And then last night I had a dinner with somebody who, she's actually a screenwriter, and she wants to work with me on this autobiography about my family that's been sitting around for, you know.
Yeah, you've been talking about this
for
since
years.
I've known you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so she's somebody who has come up with a concept because it's a big autobiography. It spans, you know, Japan, Berlin during World War II. There's a lot of different, you know, characters in there. There's a lot going on. So it's like, I'm not going to do something that's that big, because that would be like an epic two-part movie kind of thing. So we're trying to find like a piece of it that we can, you know, sort of develop and create a story around, and it would be somewhat fictionalized, but it would be based on a true story kind of thing. Really hard, like really a challenge that I don't think I've ever had, to take all this material and figure out how to turn it into something. And this would be sort of like a spy noir with a little bit of dark humor. That's kind of where we're going with it. And the person that I met with is somebody who has an agent. In fact, it's her agent is the agent of the filmmakers from Sasquatch Sunset. So kind of a cool coincidence, total coincidence. But small world. And she's really, really talented. And so she writes scripts for people. I mean, it would be a collaboration, but it would be something where, you know, I would pay her to be my writing partner, and she would do a lot of the heavy writing lifting more than anything, but I'd help craft the story and be a producer on it if it gets picked up. And it's something that's going to be given to the agent, and he's going to shop it around, and it could become a thing. And so kind of interesting to talk to her about what the possibilities are. And again, a different producer hat, because it's more in the development. Like, yeah. I'm not in the field with this yet. I'm in the pre-production, you know, development phase, where you're talking about story and characters and how is this going to play out on the big screen. So this week has been kind of hard on my brain because I feel like I've had to like really kind of like pivot.
Download a lot of info and
yeah.
be like, okay.
Yeah,
what's
a lot.
The next step?
Definitely a lot. How's your week been going, Sarah?
Well, it's been going good. It's been going good. I mentioned that I'm on a bedroom curtain mission. So for context, my apartment has a lot of windows, which is great. Good natural light, always a plus. And every room has window coverings. And they really run the gamut. My living room has curtains. Dining room has curtains. Kitchen has sort of a rolling, you know, roller. I don't know, whatever. I need to replace that. The sunroom has what are they called? Roman blinds, which are lovely, but they're sort of unwieldy. Anyway, we have window coverings except in my bedroom. And the bedroom faces east. Mm-hmm. So in LA, I get blasted with the sun first thing in the morning, because that's just where the bedroom is. Three windows in there, you know, it's bright as heck by 7 a.m. Not a problem. I actually like that. I'm usually up before then anyway, but I still like, you know, I like a window covering. It's a privacy thing. You know, I'm above my neighbors, so it's like, if I'm laying in bed, even if I'm watching TV, like, no one can actually see me, mm-hmm. but I still just, I want the window covering.
Oh, absolutely.
And it is still unclear to me why my entire apartment has window coverings except in the bedroom. Probably the former tenants had like nice ones and then just took them.
Yeah.
But I have gone down the rabbit hole, Heather, and I know you've been there where it's like, oh, okay, I take my tape measure out. I'm like, okay, curtains need to be, I need three, you know, cover three windows. Yeah, 48 wide, 72 long or thereabouts. Yeah, like I'll just like go on Amazon and like find something. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't have to be fancy, you know, and I need a curtain rod and we're good to go. And there are so many companies who give you this exact thing, mm-hmm. at least as far as like a search query goes. Uh-huh. So then I'm like, well, these are $30 and these other ones are $19.99 and I don't see a difference. Maybe it's the same company. Ah. And so I've been looking at the stuff. I also got a duvet cover that is new. We talked about this last week. I pulled the trigger, Heather.
Good. What did you get?
Beautiful linen duvet cover. I love it so much. I want to bathe in it.
What company did you go with?
Cultivar, which I've used before. Nice. Good linen. Not cheap, but mm-hmm. I figure, you know, it's an investment.
Absolutely.
Anyway, but because of that, I was like, well, I don't know if I want white curtains after all, because now I have kind of a linen thing, you know, like, and linen color, sort of almost like a light tan thing going on in the room. Like, maybe the curtains should be a different color. I cannot tell, like, I need to get off this train. So what I did was I ordered some curtains from, it was off of Amazon, I don't remember the whatever rando company it was, but you know, something where it was not that expensive. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'll just, you know, just get them, hang them. If you don't like them, send them back, get something else. Cause I'm going the cheap route for curtains. Cause like curtains, you know? And, so they came and they're actually very nice, but they're very sheer. They look awesome, especially in the morning when the sun's coming up, because the sun's coming into the bedroom. But, like, they're not room darkening mm-hmm. at all. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, I don't really care about this, but, like, what if I, like, get the flu someday? I probably do want, like, a room that can be really dark.
I like that you're because thinking
that. Because the rest
that.
Of my...
What if I get the flu, yeah. of all things?
What? Well, because it's, like, room darkening doesn't... I don't really need that to sleep because I wear eye pillows, you know, eye masks.
Yeah.
You know, if I have to, totally fine. But... I like the option of being like, maybe I'm having just like a sideways day, week, month, who mm-hmm. knows? Mm-hmm. And just like to have like the bedroom, because I got a TV in there now, and just have it like kind of dark. Maybe that counts for something, just to have the option. So my search for the perfect curtain continues, and I will never escape it. But we're getting there. But I wanted to talk about... this. So my neighborhood is anybody asked me, and some friends of ours who were at the movie that we went to last weekend asked me, oh yeah, where in LA are you? And I say Arlington Heights, and they go, oh, I don't know where that is, because it's a small neighborhood. It's not really a neighbor, like it's like a 4-block radius. It's a tiny little part of a larger neighborhood, which I would say to people is called LA's mid-city. It's just in the middle of the city.
Yeah.
Which is great. Anyway, my neighborhood happens to have several middle schools not too far from me, which is a good thing because a lot of my neighbors are just like nice families with kids. Mm-hmm. When I walk Otis in the morning, kids are going to school. Well, sometimes I beat them because I'm going earlier, but you know, kids are going to school, you know, the littler kids, you know, have, you know, holding mom's hand, they've got backpacks. You know, and they say hi to Otis, and it's so cute. But, and I don't know if it's just sort of the nature of middle schoolers when they're done with school for the day, but I have found that in the morning, it's like super chill. In the afternoon, if I'm doing like a neighborhood walk, it's like the middle schoolers are out in force. You know, they got skateboards. They're wearing really big jeans. They've, you know, they've got a variety
of
like
about colorful, big jeans right now.
Colorful headphones.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
And yeah. And you know, like that, it's like, I mean, high schoolers are their own breed, but like the 6th, 7th, 8th grade kind of part of your life, a lot, you get a lot of kids who are like posturing and yelling and being crazy, you know? And these are like urban kids.
Yeah.
So they're sort of unruly. Anyway, Otis and I were doing an extended walk yesterday because I had some time and I wanted to get my steps in, you know, all the things. And we just happened to go a way we don't really go when Johnny Cochran Middle School was getting out of class. And I swear there were like 400 kids around us. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like we were alone and then we were swarmed. And like a good 20% of them had skateboards. And Otis lost his mind. Well, did he ever.
He loses his mind around skateboards, right?
Yeah, he's like, afraid of skateboards.
Yeah.
They scare him. If somebody is, depending on like the width of a street, if we're walking down a street and someone's on the other side and like skateboarding going the other direction, like he might kind of look at me like, do I lose my mind? Nah, let's just keep going. But if we're on the same, like if we're on the same side, I have to cross the street. Mm-hmm. I have to. Mm-hmm. Because he will, he goes crazy. And sometimes people on skateboards are like, let me just not ride past you. I get it, you know, because this is a pretty common thing in dogs. And other people don't understand why my dog has decided to have a meltdown, you know, in a yard, you know, and they kind of look at us like, wow, she really can't control her dog. I'm like, I could have if I didn't walk by a middle school at 3 p.m. Anyway, so
yeah,
that's what's been going on with me.
I remember actually your Echo Park spot, you were across the street from a school too. You just can't escape it.
Yes. Elementary school. So the kids were, they were just like sweet little kids. But on the weekends, the skateboarders would hop the fence because the school was all, it was a large, had a large like blacktop, but it was fenced off. But they would hop the fence and then like, I don't know, like do skateboard tricks for the day, like on a Sunday. And because there was a fence, Otis, you know, and I would sometimes be like, hi, you know, and like watch them. But he was like, well, they're contained at least.
Yeah.
But out about, you know, in my neighborhood, different story. So I don't know. I don't know how I get that out of him. somebody suggested to me yesterday, like, what if you like got yourself a skateboard and kind of just played around with it to let him know that it's not scary. You know, there, you know, yeah, the wheels kind of make noise, but like, you know, nothing bad is happening here. He has no problem with bicycles, scooters,
you know, I think if
rollerblades, none of that bothers him.
Well, maybe Otis, if he were a human, he would be a 14-year-old boy. And maybe that's what's coming out of him when he sees a skateboard. It's like it triggers this, like, you know,
yeah, he's like, his essence. Go ham.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wants to do an ollie, Sarah. I mean, can you blame him?
I can't. I can't blame him. And there have been, you know, you see like the Instagram videos of like the dog on a skateboard or like on a surfboard where I'm like, Otis is not going to be doing either of those things. You know, he's got his limits. But we will continue to, you know, massage the situation. I was in a pretty good mood yesterday. So even though he had a meltdown, like it didn't ruin my day, but it could have been a day ruiner. He really was. He was
off
upset.
The chain. He was off the chain.
He was off the chain. But again, kind of my fault. I walked us into war, you know, now we've learned a little something.
It's always nice to learn something new, Sarah. You know, I didn't learn a lot of new stuff, but I this last week, I was reminded yet again. Because I forgot. It's so easy to forget things about the masochistic nature of field production, the desert edition. You know, I believe I've shot in the desert before, but, you know, we spent a couple days out in Joshua Tree, as I mentioned at the top of the show, and I love the desert. I mean, I miss the desert. I love Joshua Tree. It's so magical and special, as most of you know. A lot of people have gotten inspiration from it, including a very large band called U2. So we spent a couple days out there. We actually went out to visit an artist who works in the desert. He actually has a huge spread in 29 Palms. And
Cool.
Yeah, it was cool and weird and kind of like a place that I wouldn't want to live, because 29 Palms is pretty remote. I mean, it's pretty much Joshua Tree, but you know, all of the like structures out there are pretty spread out. So you're kind of alone out there. It's very isolated. Anyway, he had just like a really kind of, not ramshackle, but it was a pretty funky like place where he slept, and small kitchen. And then he had a huge shipping container, like really cool, like kind of weathered shipping container that he stores a lot of his art in, because he does these big sculptures that are sort of inspired by the desert, I guess. That was sort of the point. And, you know, he had us over for dinner. It was just like kind of a fun, weird thing where this like kind of quirky artist like has you out to his desert, you know, studio. He has a huge kiln outside where he fires his stuff. And, you know, he showed us around. He worked, you know, while we were rolling cameras. You know, he was doing some sculptures and, you know, made dinner for us. He only requested a bottle of mezcal. We sat outside, and actually that night, it was a full moon. And the full moon light in the desert like that is got to be the most magical lighting like ever. It was so unbelievable. Next day we saw the sun come up. I mean, the desert in terms of like sun, you know, setting and the sun rising and the moon rising and all that stuff, all the sky stuff, space and whatnot. It's so dark out there and the stars are so bright. It's a very magical place. But during the day we went to, you know, we went out into Joshua Tree, and we had like 8 different cameras. We actually had like an 8mm video camera too. And we were all shooting at different angles. So we were like, each of us had a camera. And so we were breaking the fourth wall, 'cause that's what we're doing with this project, where I'm shooting the filmmaker, shooting, the star who's also shooting the environment. So it's like this really fun kind of thing. And, you know, all hands on deck. And, you know, it's the desert can be very, unforgiving. You know, you're out there all day, it's hot. It's dusty. I had the most chapped lips, you know, and you're walking through, and there's all these just tons of not just cactus, but these tumbleweed bushes that have burrs on them and that have little sharp little thorns, and your ankles just get all cut up. And I came back. I mean, I survived.
It sounds great.
I know. I survived. No, it's funny because
thorns and
scorpions. You know,
scorpions.
Yeah. And in fact, he was telling me about the rattlesnakes, not even just the scorpions. And like, there's tarantulas. And I'm just like, I know.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I did.
God, get me out of there immediately. However, it's cool and beautiful also.
It is. Well, I reacted because I bitch about the spiders up north, you know, in the Northlands. There's critters, but it's like not that bad. I mean, comparatively, you know, like living in the desert. And if I had to deal with scorpions every time I took out the garbage, no fucking way. But he was telling me that the tarantulas are really chill. Like, they're really sweet, and they're gentle. They don't want to bite you. And if they do, they have a warning like prick. Like, they don't pull out the big like fangs until they do. There's like a little warning sting if like you're bothering them, but they're generally like really quite gentle, but still I don't want one walking all over me.
There was some, I don't know if it was, I don't know. It was like a video or a story or who knows. This was below on the map where you were. It was basically like due east of San Diego. Mm-hmm. Which is also California desert, but apparently, I guess it would be like San Bernardino desert.
Okay.
But there's like a whole like tarantula. Just that's what you deal with.
Yeah.
If
no,
you're
no,
going
no.
to go Mm-mm. out there.
No.
And I was like, I got no problem with y'all. I don't want to see you. You're too furry. You're too large. you have a beating heart. Like, no, yeah, I can't. I can't have it.
And the body, like their bodies are so big. Like if you crushed it,
they're
would
like
just
muscular
be...
spiders.
Yeah, no, no, no.
And mm-hmm. I can't. And bony. I can't.
No,
do
no,
that.
No. I can't either. And it actually made me feel better about where I am because I'm like I'm always like opening the windows and like scraping off like the you know because the corners get of the windows mm-hmm. get like the webs and I know that happens everywhere. It's not like it just happens where I live, but that is like no
it,
big.
It does
deal.
Happen though in. Foresty and humid, you know, you just get different breeds of spiders.
I don't like
it. I had that up in Sonoma County when I lived in the treehouse. I mean,
yeah,
spiders all over the place. Not really that many that ended up inside my house, but you know, you just have to get used to it.
You kind of have to live with them and you just have to deal with them. And it's okay. I mean, I think I'm getting there. I'm getting to be better about these critters living among me. But it was all good. It's a fascinating project. And, you know, burrs in my shoes aren't a huge deal for what you get out of it. And I guess that's my point. It's like, you know, it's this. There is a bit of this masochistic nature I talked about when I did the film where it's like you suffer a little bit. You just do. It's hard. You have to be on. You have to be awake. You don't get a lot of sleep, but you get a lot out of it. It's like that you can't get something without, you have to work for it to get the, mm-hmm. to reap the benefits. And so I did come back with a mysteriously injured hand, which was odd.
Yeah. So how's it going today? I mean, you walk us through what happened.
Yeah. So I it was just odd. I mean, it was a very strenuous week. I had like just everything's been very booked. You know, I've had some social stuff in between, but it's been a lot of work. You know, we kind of had to bounce from location to location. I've done like 4 interviews this week at different locations. And, you know, I was kind of carrying around like some heavy bags. I did carry some gear. I don't recall it being that strenuous, but I was carrying some big cameras and stuff. You know, and I use my right hand. It's just the hand that I use. And, you know, when I came back into LA, I was really wiped out. We didn't sleep very much. You know, I was pretty rough. Like, so I had to spend like the next day kind of napping and like my hand, like specifically my pinky, just started to kind of hurt. Like I strained it. It felt like a sprain or a strain or something. And it was like slightly swollen. You know, so I iced it, just like thought it was maybe a strain. And then it kind of got, my hand got a little puffier. And I kind of thought, God, maybe I got bit by a scorpion or something when I was sleeping. I don't really know. It could be a combination of things, but it's way better today. I wasn't able to make a fist though. When I talked to you, Sarah, I think it was yesterday. It was a little freaky. I like woke up and it was whoa, what is going on? So I don't really know what it is. I you know, the guy that I'm staying with is convinced that I strained it, but, you know, I may never know. It's kind of a fluke. You know, I think when you're putting your body through a lot, you know, and my immune system was definitely down. I was going to get vitamin C every day. I was like, I could tell like I would, the things I was seeking out, like smoothies and juices, I was like not feeling up to snuff, you know? So, you know, it could just be just like a weird fluke. I am feeling a lot better today. I mean, like we were going to record this show yesterday, but I couldn't use my hand. I literally like couldn't really, you know, it was odd, but yeah, it's been a great trip. I still have a few more days, but, it'll be good to get home too. You know, I think living out of a suitcase just gets really tiring. And I think you forget every time, even though I travel a lot, I'm like, okay, here I go again. And then you kind of forget, oh God, it can be such a drag living out of your suitcase, you know? And it's after a while, like after a week plus, I start to feel a little bit like, I want to sleep in my own bed. And I only got one night in my new linen duvet, Sarah. So it'll be nice to get home.
Oh, Heather, God, I love my linen duvet. I mean, it will transform your sleep. Truly. I'm reeling just because I've only slept in mine for a few nights now, but I'm just like, it's so soft.
Well, I kind of wonder
it's
if
so
I should.
So breathable.
I sort of wish I would have sprung for, because I'm aware of Cultivar. In fact, I think you may have given me a 50% off. I bought some sheets from them.
That's my jam. That's my jam for linen. You know, we're not going to go down a whole linen sheet rabbit hole.
We already have many times ad nauseam.
Because we already have many times, but it just, I don't know. Like, it's like, of all the, like, just, you know, things against my skin while sleeping, it's so cozy and yet light that, and I run hot. Yeah. I mean, I will wake up in the middle of the night and have to, like, be spread eagle, just like naked, no covers, you know, for at least a few minutes sometimes to like calm my body down. Because my body is just like, let's go to 104. I don't know why. Yeah, love the linen sheets.
I know. It's definitely just a quality of life thing. But yeah, so Sarah, I guess, you know, before we wrap up the show, I wanted to just mention something that one of my interview subjects said that I thought was really cool, and I wanted to share it with y'all. And it kind of, it fits the show, I think, a little bit. I think I've sort of talked about this type of thing before, but so this woman, her name is, I'm going to give her credit because she said it, Barbara Bestor. She's a relatively famous architect in Los Angeles. She does a lot of like contemporary. Her office was like dreamy. I was like, oh my effing God. It wasn't even like fancy. It was just a beautiful space. The coolest like style. This woman was like, had the most mad style. And just the interior design of it and just the, her books were just, she had the most amazing like bookshelf, you know, it's just like a beautiful, like just really good taste. She was just an interesting person. I would have liked to have extended, you know, and had lunch with her or something, but she, you know, 20 plus years ago started this architecture firm and they do renovations and stuff. And she said that this was sort of like her tagline for her business when she started to hire people and kind of tell people like what, you know, what her sort of goal is with creating spaces for, you know, to enjoy the space that you live in and whatnot. So she said that she thinks that everyone should experience strange beauty every day. And what she meant with it was when she designs houses and spaces, living spaces, that that she thinks about that while she's designing. It's like, let's enjoy the everyday space that we live in, because we might as well. We spend so much time in those spaces. And I thought that was really cool. And I think she also meant it as in, look around you, you know, like enjoy. I know for me, when I come to Los Angeles, one of the things I love is the architecture. I absolutely, you know, just walk around and I just enjoy looking at the architecture and the skyline and just the sort of the texture, you know, of this place. And I thought that was a kind of a cool way of, you know, a little mantra for your day, you know, like try to find something that's beautiful and strange, or maybe just beautiful or maybe just strange. So yeah, there you have it.
Well, I love that, Heather. That is very zen of you. And you're very, all things considered, you know, sitting on the edge of the bed, you know, like on a rickety desk with like 18 books, propping your laptop up.
I'm still very zen.
I admire your craft.
Thank you. Thank you.
But I know you've had a good trip down here, and you're going to be here for a few more days. And I hope to see you again.
Yes, definitely.
And it'll be fun. But yeah. It's never not a struggle.
No, it's not.
Life.
It's not. It's, yeah. There's always, man, it's so true, but there's both. And this is why we do the show. We're going to talk about the good, the bad, the evil, and the beautiful,
the good, the bad, and
the
strange.
Evil.
Yeah, exactly. And real quick, just because I know we've been talking about this in our Discord, just you know, in general, the Discorders, and shout out to y'all, are, you know, we'd love to talk about, like, here's what I'm watching, you know, I saw this movie, or I'm into this TV show, or whatever, even though we talk about other things as well. But I did want to mention that I am loving the Ripley series on Netflix.
That's a really popular one right now.
Yeah, it is just so good. And I, you know, if you've seen the movie, The Talented Mr. Ripley, it will, at least for the first few episodes, kind of be on that same, like, it's basically the same storyline. Mm-hmm. But it's, like, more crazy. And it's all black and white. You're in Italy. I mean, what's not to like?
Yeah, I watched the first episode and I liked it a lot. And Elijah's not a big TV guy. So he's just like, I don't, you know, it's fine, whatever. And I'm like, all right, whatever, dude, I'll watch it myself. But that Andrew Scott, if you like him, that actor, All of Us Strangers, that movie, he's pretty great in it.
I'm not familiar with him. I mean, now I am. But yeah. Like... besides the fact that I think he's doing real great in this series, I didn't know him before, or, you know, not to my knowledge. But anyway, really liking Ripley, kind of dealing with Sugar. That's the Colin Farrell vehicle on Apple TV Plus.
Yes.
It's fine. It's good. You know, I don't know. Between the two, I'm much more invested in Ripley.
Yeah, I've been watching, actually, because I'm going to be on my own for... Elijah's actually coming down here for 10 days, and we're not even crossing over. So I go home for a couple days, and then he's down here. So I'm going to have the TV to myself. So I'm probably going to catch up on some stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I actually have to say, one of my
guilty
pleasures...
We could do, like, a watch party.
Let's,
like,
do it. Let's do it. There's that new Riley Keough series on Hulu that I want to see. It's like a mystery thriller. Y'all probably know, and there's been a lot of ads for it, but it is called, what is it called, actually? Oh, it's called Under the Bridge. It's a mini series.
I haven't even heard of it.
Yeah, and she's, it's totally up my alley because it's like about, I think, a kidnapped girl and she's a investigator or something, but she was in my movie Sasquatch Sunset, actually, and I will say, just real quick, she was quite wonderful in it. I was actually pleasantly surprised. But I've been watching, Sarah, maybe you'll appreciate this, because this is, I don't usually have these guilty pleasures like you do. I miss them. I'm not better than them, but I have been watching the latest season of American Horror Story, Delicate, with Kim Kardashian and Emma Roberts. Mm. And it's, you know, it's bad, but it's good. And it's just dark and it's scary and it's weird. And it's just such candy. It's like a popcorn and candy kind of thing. So I've been really enjoying that.
Well, how about that? If anyone out there is like, you know, Heather and Sarah touched on, you know, some shows and or movies, but, like, I've got a great one. Please do send it our way. hi@havesuchagoodday.com is where you can send that email. I mean, you can get a hold of us on a variety of different places, but that's an easy one. But as we wrap up this show, just a reminder, I mentioned our Discord. You can join our Discord if you become a patron, if you are a patron, at the $5 and up level per month. It's just sort of a back channel where we're all just, you know, we're just yakking together. It's a great group of folks. Shout out to the Discorders.
Yes.
And patrons in general, thank you so much for being part of our little journey here, which has gone on for quite some time now. If you are listening to the show and you would like an ad-free version of the show, and, you know, maybe you want to get into the Discord, maybe you don't care about that, you know, all good. But patreon.com/havesuchagoodday is where to find out more about how to directly support our show. We're a small and humble team, to Women Army, and we're so glad to have you, and we'd love to have more.
Yeah, spread the good word about Have Such a Good Day, and remember that small talk is the glue that binds us all together, and the armor that shields us from each other's darkest thoughts.
Wow, that was very poignant.
That was John Wilson. I stole that from How To with John Wilson.
I was like, wow, Heather, you just like pulled that out of your
pocket.
Wouldn't
that be amazing? Oh, man, yeah, I don't know if I'm that talented, but...
Well, you know, John Wilson.
Love that guy.
Also, that's a fun watch. All right, everybody. We are going to wrap up episode 235 of Have Such a Good Day. Thanks for joining us.
Yes,
and
thank
we'll talk
you
to you next week.
So much. Peace and love.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miroboard. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miroboard?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.